Hallelujah. Glory to God. Good to see all of you today. And all of our friends, I'm going to get right on into the Word of God. We're immediately following today. I know we have our normal put up the chairs and all that, but the most important thing we're going to do at the close today, okay, after we respond to the Word of God for a few moments, we're going to respond today, and Savannah's going to be baptized today. We have the fanciest baptismal tank in all of Minnesota. It's even heated. It's got stairs in it.
Pastor, can I share what came to me when we were praying for Savannah yesterday? I think that the people out there in electronic land, you can hear this. This came to me yesterday while we were praying for Savannah, and we all laid hands on her and prayed the Holy Spirit to invade her. And all of us, the hair on our arms stood straight up. He landed. And then we sat around the table and we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there's a lot, I'm not even going to go into it, there's a lot of different reasons, but the Lord downloaded something to me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit that I think everybody needs to hear this. It was like a revelation. When Jesus was on that cross, pinned up there, the devil thought he had him.
Come on, bro.
He thought he had him. But Jesus rose again,
come on,
and he made a public display on that cross the enemy. He defeated death. And when you get water baptized and you go under that water, you die to yourself, you come up in new life in Christ, you make a public display of the enemy, just like Jesus did on the cross.
Again!
Person gets baptized. So any of you out there that haven't been water baptized, it's an extremely powerful event. And the devil hates it because he loses you.
That's right.
You go into the kingdom when you do that. And it's a public display to all the principalities, all the heavenly hosts, that you belong to God and not to the devil anymore. It's so powerful that he gave that to me. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
But Paul said that when the children of Israel went through the Red Sea, it was a baptism. He was using it as a type of water baptism. And when he went to, what happened to the enemy? The enemy drowned in the Red Sea. The enemy was forever cut off from them. They got set free way before that. But the enemy kept pursuing them. And in baptism, boom, it was over. Amen? The separation came. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. So maybe some of you need to be baptized. Just put your room.
Come on.
Water is fine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are y'all ready?
Yeah.
I got a word for you today. Let's get into it. I shared with you last week how Jesus is praying for us to have a faith that will not fail. I think we all want to have a faith that won't fail. Amen? I think we would all agree with that. And just as with Peter, here's the thing. Just as with Peter, Jesus, your intercessor, is not going to settle for anything less than what he redeemed you for.
Amen?
Amen.
Y'all hear what I said? The reason Jesus was so passionate to intercede for Peter, because there was a lot more potential in Peter than to be known for denying him.
Come on now.
And to be known for being a lousy fisherman.
Because
I told you this before, every time Jesus showed up, he had to bail him out, you know? Are you with me?
Yeah.
And it's the same with us. It's the same with us. That's why the Bible says when he was raised up and seated at the right hand, he forever lives to intercede for you
and
me.
True.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, he's interceding for the lost, and in all honesty, he's already done that intercession. On the cross. Anybody can believe and come to him. But he's actually also believing and interceding for us to reach what God has intended for us. The hope of our calling. Say, hope of my calling.
Hope of my calling.
He told Peter, he said, Satan has sought permission to sift you like wheat. But he said, I'm praying for you. He didn't say, if you might. He said, when you return. Amen? When you return, you will strengthen your brothers. He knew that the power of that intercession and then his seeking him out. So we all know that Peter did return, right? He did return, and he strengthened his brothers. He returned to be a great apostle of the Lord in the early church, as we know. And he returned to the Lord's calling upon his life. How many of you know, we'll all be honest, when we go through something, usually what gets dislodged from us more than anything is what we're called to do. That's what we kind of get disconnected from. It's not that you're going to die and go to hell or anything like that. It's just that you get disconnected from purpose. You get disconnected because the enemy immediately begins to work that we're not worthy to handle any calling. Right? Hello? And please don't limit calling to this.
Yes, sir.
Are y'all with me?
Yes, sir.
There's so much more to what God wants to do and why he anointed you with the Holy Spirit. All right? So there's a kingdom truth here. And it's a truth that's all through the Word of God. It's especially emphasized in Romans. It says that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, meaning they're irrevocable.
Right.
Think about that.
Right.
If God called you and gifted you, anointed you, then guess what? God, He's forever committed to that.
Right.
Isn't that amazing? He doesn't come and go, you know what? You messed up. I'm going to take that back. Well, if He did that, then what Jesus did on the cross was to no avail.
Dude.
Right.
If we could be that easily thrown out with the trash. Are you with me?
Preach it.
Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Stand with me? Now, Peter wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He said this. He has saved us and called us with a holy calling. Okay?
Yeah.
So, here's what I would propose to you today. If you're saved, I'm looking around the room, I know all of you. You're saved, right?
Amen.
You know Jesus, right?
Come on.
Okay.
Amen.
Then guess what? You're called.
That's right. That's it.
You're called.
Called.
Okay?
Yeah.
And if He called you, He anoints you for the call.
That's good.
You know, He would never call you to something and say, well, I'm not going to give you any equipment.
That's right.
Thank you, Jesus.
Right? You just got to find out and go through and learn the hard way. No. He anoints us for a purpose. Say a purpose.
Right.
Now, I want to look at a very, I believe it's a timely prophetic event. And you may have heard this talk before. But I want you to look at what we're going to look at today out of 2 Kings 6. We're going to look at it with our prophetic eyeglasses on, okay?
Yeah.
Now, I don't mean prophetic as in predicting the end of days. I'm talking about a prophetic for the purpose of our lives. And I believe it so speaks to where we are in the church. When I say the church, I mean the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just Freedom Day, okay?
Yes,
so with that in mind, I want you to go with me to 2 Kings 6. You begin with verse number 1. Now the sons of the prophets said to Elijah, behold now the place before you where we are living is too limited for us. Please let us go to Jordan and each of us take from the place there for ourselves where we may live. So he said, go. Then one said, please be willing to go with your servants. And he answered, I shall go. So he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down trees. Now I'm going to stop right there for just a moment. I want to make a point here. The Lord is always looking for us to expand.
Yes.
Do you agree?
Yeah.
Everything in the kingdom is supposed to grow. All right? And so you understand that. So they said, this is too limited. Right?
Right.
I mean, it sounds familiar. We were very limited where we were. Right?
Yeah.
And I would be bold to say that I believe this place will soon be too limited.
Amen.
That's the way we ought to think in the kingdom of God. Amen? It's about expanding. It's not, and I'm not talking about just how many rear ends we can put in seats on a Sunday. I'm talking about growing as the church and reaching people for the kingdom of God.
Amen.
To live by faith.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen? We're to go from faith to faith. We're to go from strength to strength. From glory to glory. Amen.
Hallelujah.
God's always moving in His kingdom.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. Everybody agree with me on that?
Yeah.
So, as we work and press forward to build the Lord's work, to expand the kingdom of God, to work His harvest, how many of you know we will hit resistance? In fact, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. He didn't say sometimes. It always does. If you're about kingdom business, there's resistance. Are you with me?
Yeah.
But He promised that the violent will take it by force.
Yeah, that's a good
so
point.
We can come with a spirit of faith and take it. Here's the thing. It's important for us to keep our edge. As a church and as individuals. You've got to keep your edge. Because if we don't, we won't be able to continue through the resistance. And we'll end up giving up. Okay? Now go to verse 5. But as one would, remember, they're chopping down trees, right?
Yeah.
As one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried out, and he said, alas, my master, for it was borrowed. Say, it was borrowed.
Borrowed.
Then the man of God said, where did it fall? And when he showed him the place, get this now, he cut off a stick, and he, obviously off of the tree. He took a branch or a stick, I don't know, I don't have anything to go on more than that. And he threw it in, where the axe head had fallen into the water. Are y'all seeing this?
Yes.
Remember, look at this prophetically now. And it made the iron head float.
Come on.
I don't know about you, but there's no way to explain this in science class.
That's right.
Yeah.
Are you with me? Okay. So it's got to be something prophetic God's showing us here.
Yeah.
And then he said, look at this. Take it up for yourself. So he put out his hand and he took it. Okay? Now, remember, this is a prophetic picture to us. Are you ready? Are you ready?
Ready.
Okay. When the axe head has fallen off, would you agree, you've lost your edge?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Come on.
And when the axe heads fall off, at the very least, things get really difficult if the work doesn't stop altogether. Right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
when the anointing lifts,
wrong.
Nothing gets done.
No.
Are you with me?
No.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
Because you can swing an axe handle at a tree all you want, and that tree is going to go.
Come on.
That ain't going to bring it down. You got to have an edge. Let me say edge.
Yeah.
Now here's what I want you to picture for the sake of this message today. I want you to picture the axe handle as your calling.
Okay?
It's your calling. It's the task or the purpose that you've been laid before you. Interestingly, if it's a handle, you have to take hold of it. Right?
That's good.
That's what you take hold of. Everybody got me?
Yeah.
The second thing, I want you to picture the axe head or the edge as the anointing.
Wow.
Amen? The anointing. I like to call it also the advantage.
Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. Jesus said, it's to your advantage I go away because I'm going to send the helper.
Yeah.
Amen? I'm going to give you an edge in the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
It's the power and the unique graces of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That He gives to us. Amen?
Amen?
The anointing of God upon our lives. The anointing is the Spirit of God. Remember Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. To do what? To preach the good news of the gospel to the poor. Amen? And all the other things that He does with that anointing. So the point is, the anointing speaks of the grace and the power of the Spirit of God to minister the kingdom of God.
Amen?
It's really for nothing. It's not even for a feeling. Oh, it was so anointed. You know, it wasn't anointed, not really anointed ministry. Something wasn't breaking through for the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, glad we have anointed praise and worship. Because things break, things shift, things move when you're using the edge. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, let's be honest. As we wrestle and struggle through the things of life, amen? The resistance and the demonic things that we battle against, we can feel as though we've lost our edge from time to time. Amen? We've all been there, right?
Yeah.
A circumstance or something. Here's two things that usually will happen when we lose our edge. Number one, we'll just keep working, hoping no one will notice.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
Yeah.
You just keep swinging that axe handle. Maybe nobody will notice. I don't have any anointing anymore. Uh-oh. Every pastor can say amen to that.
Yeah.
Or we'll succumb to the temptation to just walk away.
Wrong.
And quit. And give it up. Throw it down. Which is what Peter tried to do. I said tried because he didn't succeed. Amen? But he denied the Lord, and in his embarrassment and in his shame, amen? Come on, we've all been there, right? He not only denied the Lord, but he never dealt with it, and he went back to fishing for fish. And what was his prophetic destiny?
Fishing
for men. Amen?
Come on.
He went after the wrong, he grabbed the wrong handle.
Right.
He grabbed the handle he never could make any living at. I'm glad. Here's the thing, at the moment we lose our edge, the enemy will bring a sense of hopelessness. Amen? Try to make us feel like a failure. We're no longer needed. We're no longer effective. How about this? We're no longer useful.
Yeah.
And that's the work of the enemy. Do you agree?
Yeah.
That's the work of the enemy. Because, again, God will never revoke what He gave you.
That's right.
So we have to understand that. But interestingly, the man cried out, Master, it was borrowed. Now, we need to clear this up because I don't want you to think that when you get anointed with the Holy Spirit, it was borrowed. But there was a sense of his understanding that it really wasn't his to be toying around with.
That's a good word.
He needed to get it back.
That's
and that's what we have
word.
To remember. Because God doesn't give you the Spirit and take the Spirit away. Okay? Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
But He does give us the Spirit and say that He jealously desires the Spirit.
Yes.
That He's placed within us. So I think that's how we can understand it. Because I really prayed about that. How does that kind of fit into the narrative today? But the anointing of the Holy Spirit wasn't given to you for a short period of time.
No.
Like your day in the sun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, well, that was back when I was anointed. No. It doesn't work that way. Because the Holy Spirit never leaves you. In fact, the Holy Spirit is a pledge to you of your salvation and your inheritance. Amen? Some translations break it down for you that it's the guarantee or the earnest deposit of God on your life. The seal of your salvation is the Holy Spirit. Amen? So that anointing is not going to leave you.
Hallelujah.
He's not on loan to you. And when you're no longer useful, I'm going to take it back. No, it doesn't work that way. So don't think that way. He's a promised gift. And God doesn't take back what He gives. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I mean, and He's jealous for us. Everybody still with me on that?
Yeah.
Very important. The anointing aspect of the Holy Spirit is for the purpose of the kingdom of God. Now, and it's so that your time and your fruitfulness and your effectiveness, as long as you're on the planet, it never ends. It never ends.
Amen.
Your usefulness to be fruitful for God never ends. No matter how old you are, how young you are, it never dries up. It never goes away. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad God's unchangeable?
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you this. His Holy Spirit is definitely unchangeable.
Yes.
Amen? And again, the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. Okay? So we may lose our edge from time to time, but we don't lose the Holy Spirit. Anybody clear with me on that?
Yes.
Don't you walk in here going, man, I know what he's talking about. I lost the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
No, you didn't. You know why you don't lose him? Because if you lost him, if he just took off, right? Like a little dove flitting away every time something happened, guess what? You couldn't possibly grieve him because he would just leave.
Yeah.
Right? How can we grieve him and quench him?
That's a
he
good
leave
word.
Us. Amen?
That's a good
he
word.
Doesn't leave us, okay?
Yeah.
So we have to keep that in our heart and understand. Now, I'm not trying to make excuses for us, but I am trying to don't buy that lie. Because
right.
I know a lot of men, I know guys that serve God that I walked alongside that they don't feel like they have an anointing anymore. And I said, no. You have an anointing. You just need to pick it up again.
Yes.
Amen? Say amen.
Amen.
So the prophet asked him, where did it fall? In other words, where did you lose it?
Yeah.
How many of you know that's probably one of the most important things, because here's what I found out in my life. I always have to go back to where I lost it and deal with it.
Right. That's good.
I have to deal what caused that to fall off of my life. Anybody with me?
Yeah.
You just got to deal with it. And you know what? I can't deal with it for you, and you can't deal with it for me.
Right.
We all have to humble ourselves before the Lord and deal with what caused it to fall off. It may be where we hit the wall. Anybody ever just hit the wall? You know, I don't know what happened. It may be that time when we failed. Okay? Or how about this? We got angry.
Yeah.
We got hurt. We got bitter. We got offended.
Come on.
Come on.
Come on, man.
Or maybe it's the condemnation because we were walking in sin.
Come on.
And the enemy loves to eat your lunch with condemnation, right?
Uh-huh.
Especially if you haven't confessed it and gotten your heart clean before God. Or how about this? The unexpected situation in your life that just came in and just the wheels came off. Anybody with me? You didn't see it coming, right?
Thank you, Lord.
It's like you stepped off the curb and you didn't see the bus.
Thank you. Hallelujah.
Are y'all with me?
Hallelujah.
How about this? For some, it was the pandemic.
Yeah.
The pandemic itself
was the
point. I mean, you could use a lot of examples here. I'm not here to glorify the schemes of the devil, but the schemes and wiles of the devil are real.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
I was just listening to a teaching this week from Robert Morris down at Gateway in Dallas. And he was talking about that. These wiles of the enemy. And it's all for the point to take you and I out.
That's right.
He knows he can't take you to hell.
Yeah.
But he can sure come to try to neutralize you and your effectiveness so other people won't escape hell. Because we're not being fruitful. Amen? Hallelujah. The bottom line is this. We have to be willing to humble ourselves and identify where we lost it.
Yeah.
And I got to ask myself this question when I'm doing that. Do I want to protect my pride? Hello? Or do I want to get the edge back? Hallelujah. And how many know sometimes you just don't want to deal with it because it's your pride?
Yeah.
The beauty of it is most of the time, unless it involves somebody else, we can deal with it between us and God, right?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad?
Yeah.
Then there's just times it involves other people, and that's where the pride becomes an issue.
Yeah.
But our good Heavenly Father, and I know I said this when we were coming out of worship, our good Heavenly Father is a Redeemer. Everybody say that.
Yeah.
Redeemer. Amen. He never turns away from a humble and repentant heart, because that's his heart,
that's
to
right.
redeem every situation. Amen?
Amen.
Great is his faithfulness.
Hallelujah.
Say it with me. Great is his faithfulness.
Great.
Say it again. Great is his faithfulness. You know, the body of Christ, and I say this as Freedom Day, but also any place where you worship or serve, the body of Christ needs you.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It needs me.
Amen.
It needs us. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And it needs us to be sharp.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
yes,
it
does.
Because what if everybody, small church or large, was ministering with an edge?
Come on.
Woo! The power of that. We wouldn't look to just one man or woman to bring it.
Yes.
Right? Or just a chosen few. We got to get away from that, beloved. Amen?
Amen.
I've been hearing that word for pretty much since the charismatic movement started. When I was involved in it in the late 70s, I've been hearing that word, that the day of the superstar, where everybody kind of runs to the guy with the superstar anointing, those days are coming to a close. Because God's raising up an army. Amen?
Army.
Hallelujah. An army who's also a bride. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I love that picture, don't you?
Yeah.
Are we all okay? So everybody's called to employ their gifts.
Yes.
To serve one another in the body of Christ. The body of Christ is frankly handicapped.
Wow.
When certain parts are not functioning and connected.
Yes.
It handicaps the body.
Yeah.
Remember the dry bones? Ezekiel's vision?
Yeah.
A valley full of dry bones. They were not connected. It wasn't a valley full of skeletons.
That's right.
It was a valley full of bones.
That's good.
Disconnected, dry people.
Ah, yeah.
You got with me?
That's good.
And when he prophesied, the first part was for those bones to come together, to get connected. Absolutely. Then God put sinew on them, and he put skin on them, and then he breathed his Holy Spirit on a body, not on an individual.
Do it again, God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's how God does it. Yeah. On the day of Pentecost, the 120 weren't just wandering around Jerusalem, and they all started dropping like flies.
Thank you, Lord.
No, no, no. They were together as a body.
Come on.
That's what God did. There's a special anointing and outpouring. He can pour out on you in your secret time of prayer. Absolutely. But there's something special when the body's together.
That's right.
Not just in a room.
Come on.
But together and connected, amen?
Wow.
It's so important for us, and we've got to do that better in America.
Yeah.
Amen? We've got to figure that out.
Yeah.
It's very important for us because of what God wants to do. Okay, let me show you why. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up. Everybody say, grow up.
Grow up.
In all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Everybody say, Christ.
Christ.
So who are we growing up into? Your pastor? No. You're growing up into Christ. Amen?
Amen.
From whom the whole body being what? Talk to me. Fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. Now, what is it? At every connection point. Now, if you're connected to this body part, it doesn't mean you're absolutely connected to every body part. But because everybody's connected to somebody, we're all connected. Right?
Yeah.
Yes.
My foot is connected to my body, but it's not directly connected to my wrist like the hand is. See what I'm saying?
Yes.
So you understand how that works. Everybody with me?
Yes.
But you need to be connected somewhere.
Yes.
In the body of Christ. Everybody still with me?
Yes.
According to the proper working of each individual part, okay, causes what? The growth of the body, or you could say the church, because Jesus called the church His body, for what? The building up of itself in love. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
When I used to travel a lot in the ministry and be gone, I loved my wife dearly, but I could love her a lot better when I was home. And connected to her. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
And it's important for us to understand that. The Lord has entrusted so much to us. Come on, think about it, guys.
Yeah.
So we've been in this thing a while, right?
Yeah.
He's entrusted so much to us. Think about anointings. Testimonies, prophecies, words, visions and dreams, gifts, callings, a measure of faith,
amen.
A spirit of faith.
Amen.
He's entrusted so much to us.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
That's why He jealously desires His Spirit when He's made to dwell in us. Think about this too. He has shed abroad His love in our hearts by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that?
Yes.
I'm glad I'm not depending on Rick's love to get this done. Oh boy, I need agape. Anybody with me? He's also granted us the same spirit of faith. We've talked about that for weeks. But He's also anointed us with power.
Amen.
Amen. He's given us an edge.
Yes.
He didn't just give us a handle and say, go back away.
Yeah.
Right? Hallelujah. Good luck, son. I love you. I'll be back in 2,000 years. Again, if we're saved, we're called. Say, I'm called.
Oh.
And if He's called us, we better get back to it. Amen. We need to get back to whatever that looks like. And retrieve the axe head.
Hallelujah.
Don't allow the enemy to deceive you into thinking that what it is you've been doing to serve is somehow insignificant. This is really important. But instead, be determined that you'll be more fruitful in your serving. Let me explain. Jesus said, he who is faithful in the very little thing will be faithful in much. In other words, you are entrusted with more when you're faithful in the littlest of things. Everybody, I think we understand that. That's true in the world.
Yeah.
If you're at a company and you're not trustworthy, you're not going to advance.
Yeah.
Right?
Wow. Well, come on.
Hello?
Yes. That's right.
Unless you're sleeping with a boss or something.
Yeah. Dude.
You're not going to advance.
Right?
Right? You've got to be faithful. Come on, everybody.
Right.
Hallelujah. I'm sorry I said that.
Hallelujah.
Our faithfulness determines the increase of responsibility we're given, but also the entrustedness of the and to determine the development of our calling. But here's what I don't want to get away from this today. Even small tasks that we would just consider, in the eyes of man, they don't draw a lot of honor, right? I mean, if I preach a good word, people go, man, that's a powerful word today, Rick.
Yeah.
But you know what I want to say? I want to say thank you to every one of you to help me set up chairs and move equipment, and we did this, we did that. I mean, it's so much more than that. But it tends to be that way, where the honor, unfortunately, goes to certain people more than others. But what I want to say to you today, God honors you in any way you serve one another.
Amen?
Amen?
Right.
Amen.
Right.
And here's the thing. Well, we might think that that doesn't require an anointing. That's where we miss it.
Yeah.
It does require an anointing. Yeah. Let me explain to you why. Yes. You remember the first deacons in the book of Acts, we don't have any record of deacons. Now, later, Paul taught a lot about them and their qualifications and the purview of their authority to minister. But in the beginning, the first deacons were assigned, and they were men full of the Spirit and grace and power, and they were wise men. But they were going to be overseeing the serving of the widows and the daily feeding of the widows. Now, how many of you know, if you were to ask a brother, well, what do you do at that church? Oh, I'm over the feeding ministry for the widows.
Yeah.
And you go, oh, okay. You know, people just naturally kind of go, okay, well, that's great that you do that. Because we don't think an anointing needs to be there. But can I tell you, let me show you something. We got to get this. Stephen, the Bible says this about Stephen. He was full of grace and power, and he was performing great wonders and signs among the people.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yes, he's serving, loving on those ladies, helping them, feeding them, overseeing that, amen, dealing with the issues that led to them being assigned to it to begin with, right? The strife that was among the whole thing. A feeding ministry has strife.
Yeah, yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
And with all that that's going on, and then he comes, and in the meantime, what's Stephen doing? He's performing signs and wonders and miracles.
Yeah.
Come on.
Becomes a mighty martyr for God in the very next chapter. It's a powerful thing. Are y'all with, y'all see that?
With you.
Let's imagine together. Let's just say, some of you have been at churches where there were greeters. At our old building, we used to have greeters. People would greet you when you came in the door, say hi to you, especially if you were new, you know, just to say welcome to the church. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
And I've been at churches, in our old church back in Memphis, we had people in the parking lot. I mean, you had to help people get parked in a church that size, you know. And parking lot greeters, whatever. What if you were just doing something and people might go, well, that's just such a
menial
task, right? But what if you were anointed with grace and power like Stephen? There'd be people getting healed in the lobby and in the parking lot and people getting their breakthrough before they ever got into the service. Are y'all with me? And you guys are, well, I don't know, Pastor. Well, let me tell you what. There was such a draw to the church at Jerusalem. If you remember, they couldn't even get everybody in there. So they just started laying the lane out on the sidewalk where Peter would walk by. So God will do it anywhere. Amen? Are y'all getting anything out of
it?
And we just got to see it. I'm anointed.
That's right. Amen. Me too.
I'm anointed to go to the store. I'm anointed to do my job.
Yeah,
I'm anointed in every situation of life to be used by God. Amen. Say, I'm anointed.
I'm anointed.
If you can't say that, you'll never get your edge back.
That's right.
It's important for us to understand it. And again, you can apply that to any area. Peter had to get back to his calling, which was fishing for men and shepherding the sheep of God. Amen. And it led to what? His apostleship. All right? And the leading of the church. But he had to find that edge. He had to find that anointing. And I tell you what, if Peter, after denying the Lord three times and running the other way, if he could be restored in anointing and power to be an apostle.
Come on,
yeah.
Come on, guys.
Yeah.
He could restore any of us. Hallelujah.
Right.
In a mighty way.
Yes.
You have authority. Please hear this. As a redeemed, born again child of God, you have an authority to go back to the place where you lost it and retrieve it.
Hallelujah.
You have that authority. The enemy is a thief.
Yes.
He doesn't have a legitimate authority.
No.
Because thieves steal.
That's right.
They don't come and bargain with you that they can have it. They steal.
Steal.
Right? Thieves. Thieves. Not Steve, but thieves. There's probably some thieves that steal, but I don't know. Thieves steal. Are you with me?
Yes.
And you know where they steal from? Any area we give ground to the
devil. Yes.
That's
it. If you don't give him ground, he can't come on your porch.
Nothing.
You just stand there with the power of the name and the blood of Jesus. And like a stray dog, he's out of there. Amen?
Yeah,
bro. Stand there with
my hat. Yeah, stand there with your hat's handle. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So we got to go back and deal with it. Say, deal with it.
Deal with it.
And you can also retrieve it by faith. A lot of times we're pretty good about wanting to deal with things. We realize where the wheels came off, right?
Yeah.
Lord, forgive me. I humble myself. And we've all done that. I prayed with many of you. You prayed with me. We prayed with one another. And I mean, that's just part of doing life, okay?
Yeah.
But we're not so good about understanding how important it is to get the axe head back.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
It's important that we get it back. You have to be able to do that. Because, you know, swinging an axe handle with no edge is going through the motions.
Yeah, that's right.
How many of you have done that? In the name of ministry.
Yeah.
My hands up. In the name of ministry, I've gone through the motions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've led worship in many a worship service with no axe head.
Yeah.
I've preached without an axe head.
Yeah.
Right? And so it applies to anything. I've done outreaches, you know, and didn't have that axe head of the anointing. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad, but I am trying to challenge you.
That's good.
Amen?
Challenge me.
We can prophetically describe our axe head as the anointing and favor of God that causes us to be effective. For each of us individually, this favor of God can be that anointing, that ministry, or prophetic gift. Maybe a healing mantle that's on your life. Amen?
Come on, bro.
For the church corporately, though, it looks more like this. It's the favor of God that is our rich heritage.
Wow.
It's our rich heritage. If He did it once, He'll do it again.
Amen.
Amen. The testimony. You're with me?
Yeah.
It's the rich heritage of God. Where God says, I have called you and positioned you as a lampstand. So that you can shine. In other words, you will have influence because of the lampstand I give you, my church. Or we can put it this way, to be the city set on a hill.
Amen?
Amen?
Wow.
And again, the early church in Jerusalem was known for that. They came from all around the regions. They were drawn to that. That church had never lost its edge.
Come on, man.
And guys, let's believe we can get it back. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Go with me to Isaiah 49:8. Isaiah 49:8. Thus says the Lord, in a favorable time I have answered you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Everybody said, praise the Lord. And I will keep you and give you for a covenant of the people, get this, to restore the land. Now please get these next four words, to make them inherit. Y'all see that? To make them inherit what? The desolate heritages. Did I give you the next verse? Saying to those who are bound, go forth, and to those who are in darkness, show yourselves.
Come on.
Now, there's heritage. If a heritage is desolate, why is it?
Forgotten.
Yeah, it's forgotten. It's just laying dormant, right? It's not being used. It's not being claimed, right? Mm-hmm. Hello?
Wow.
You ever hear these stories about people that were left money and didn't know it?
Yeah.
They were left an inheritance. They were left some property.
Yeah.
You know, some uncle or something, or somebody, maybe a parent or somebody they weren't really that close to, and maybe they were shocked they got left anything.
Yeah.
You know, we would call that a desolate heritage for sure.
Yeah.
And guess what? The enemy would be glad to hide it from you.
Yeah.
Bro.
Yeah.
Bro, not cool.
The enemy's wanting to hide from today's church what a real church looks like.
Come on, bro.
What a Book of Acts church looks
that's
like. He's trying to hide that
exactly
from us
true
and make it think it's not our heritage. It's our heritage.
It is our heritage.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Because with God, things get better. They don't get worse.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
I'll say that again. With God, things get better. They don't get worse.
Glory.
I'm not saying the world. The world's going to get worse. We're seeing that. But the church is to get better.
Yes. Amen.
The only way that Elijah, if you remember, could get Elijah's mantle, remember? He said, I want a double portion of your mantle. And he said, well, you've asked a hard thing.
Yeah.
But he said, if you could stay with me and be with me when I go up to be with the Lord. He already knew he wasn't going to die a normal way. He was going to go up in a whirlwind to heaven. He said, make sure you're with me when I go up.
Yeah.
And guess what? Elijah never left his side. He went through some tests where he could have left his side. He never left his side. And when Elijah died and he went up into the whirlwind, his mantle fell.
Bro.
Amen?
Yep.
Yeah.
And Elijah picked up that mantle.
Yeah.
And you read 2 Kings, where we're reading today, and he did twice the miracles that his father Elijah did. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
See, increase. There it is again. It's the increase that is there. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
First of all, why do mantles fall to the ground?
Someone's got to catch it.
But why do they fall to the ground? They're of no use in heaven.
Right.
I'm not taking my anointing, my mantle to heaven. There's no use for it in heaven.
Yeah. Come on.
Are y'all getting this?
Yeah.
Very important.
Yeah.
It has no purpose there.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody needs healing up there. It also serves no purpose laying on the ground either, though.
No.
Lying desolate does it.
That's right.
I love that language. You will make them inherit.
That's right.
Come on.
Pick it up.
Hallelujah.
Everybody say it. Pick it up.
Yeah.
Well, if a mantle shouldn't lie desolate, neither should an axe head.
That's
lie at the bottom of the river.
Right.
Amen.
It
doesn't belong there. That's not what it was created to do.
Golly.
So let's be humble and go back and get it. Amen.
Yeah.
And I believe we can do it with confidence and with faith because our Redeemer, again, is our intercessor. And He's the God of restoration. Amen.
Amen.
And I've talked to you many times over the years about this period of restoration at the end of the age. Period of restoration, right? Mm-hmm. the fulfillment, not only of prophetic words, but the fulfillment of what God's going to do and to restore the church and all of that. And we've been reading about that. But what I want to encourage you with is that if that's true, and it is true, if that's true, because that's true, how about that?
Yeah.
Because that's true, then there's going to be a lot of discovery going on.
Yeah.
Of mantles.
Yep.
Part of our heritage that was left dormant, right? There's going to be a lot of floating axe heads.
Yeah.
Just waiting for somebody to retrieve them for the glory of God. Are y'all with me? Are y'all still there?
Yes, I'm here.
His redemptive power and restoration is very miraculous. And we've already talked about that and we've discussed that. But again, the end time church, what did Jesus say? He who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do, and greater works he will do. So he doesn't talk about it diminishing at all. Amen?
No.
Hello?
Because
he doesn't change.
Hello.
If he changed, then I would have to wonder, am I even forgiven anymore? Things are fading away.
That's right?
The end time church will be what? Glorious.
Amen.
That's what it says, without spot or without wrinkle. In other words, no offense to those who got before us, but it'll be better than the book of Acts.
Amen.
There are issues in the book of Acts.
Yeah,
but God's
going
to do something so mighty, and when he comes, she will be a glorious bride. You might say, well, I don't know about that, Pastor. Well, we need to quit looking at the church and start looking at the Word.
That's right.
And what God has promised. Amen? Yeah. Now, when the son of the prophet showed him where the axe head had sunk, Elijah, you remember that part? He cut a stick off the tree and he threw it into the water, right?
Right.
And the axe head floated. Well, I don't know any other way you can discern that prophetically than that stick is wood. Now, hold that thought. Hold that thought. Galatians says, when it quotes about how Jesus bore the curse for us, said, cursed is any man who hangs on, not a cross, on a tree. What was the cross made out of?
Wood.
Where does wood come from? Newsflash, get scientific on you now. Trees. And so it's the image there of the cross.
Yeah.
What you notice is?
So good.
When you apply the cross,
come on,
the grace of God, the blood of God that stains that cross. When you apply the cross, the anointing comes back up. Amen.
Yes.
And so without the cross, I'm not going to retrieve anything.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, mercy.
Me too, man. I always thought, well, that's a nice little trick, right? Nice little trick. We're not into trick or treating. No. But you know, it's just like, wow, what could this be? And I'm convinced that's what it is. I've heard other men speak on that.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time I heard that, I thought, yeah, that's exactly what it is. Because we're looking at this in prophetic imagery. Right? So the prophet said, take it up for yourself. So again, our Lord will release a grace on you to not only restore you from whatever caused it to fall off, but he will put the grace upon you to reclaim what is yours again. Amen?
Amen.
I just believe right now is a key time for us prophetically to hear the word of the Lord.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Because remember, I think we think that the prophet just spoke to those dry bones and said, you guys start getting connected. Do it now. Don't make me come down there.
Yeah.
I wasn't like that. Remember what he said? Yeah. Oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You with me? Because he didn't do anything but prophesy.
Yeah.
And when he prophesied, they heard and they responded.
Yeah.
And then, after they formed the army, God called for the Lord told him, now prophesy to the four winds. Now here in the desert in monsoon season, we would call that a microburst.
Yeah.
Amen? Because when it comes from the four winds, it's going to be a mighty downburst of the Spirit of God will come upon the army of God.
Oh.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And I believe there's a connection to that, to the prophetic word. When we all get our mouths open, the King of glory is coming in a way like we've never seen.
Glory.
Hallelujah. As individuals and as the church, as his congregation, would you agree with me the enemy's attempted to steal our edge?
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
I think we've made that clear. But you know, he has especially done this among those who are from the Spirit-filled persuasion.
Oh,
Jesus. Has he not, Bill?
Oh, yeah.
He has come to take away. And I know some guys that had a tremendous edge in the spirit. And they're no longer walking in it. It makes me want to weep.
Right.
They've gone to another way to build their church or to grow their church. I'm telling you, I'm only wanting to build it his way.
Amen.
Amen. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
It's the anointing one. Christ is what the anointing one. We're Christians. His anointing ones.
Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
He's the cornerstone. Hallelujah.
Yes.
That's what we got to go by. I don't want to go by programs or gimmicks. I'm not saying we shouldn't use wisdom and get the word out and do all that, but I'm just saying we've got to get back to getting what's going to really make the difference, and it's the anointing of God, all of us.
Amen.
Don't be, let me say this to you. Don't be ashamed of the rich heritage you have.
Come on now.
Don't be ashamed of it. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Let's not quench and grieve the Spirit of God. The devil is terrified at the idea of a generation picking up their mantles.
Yes.
He's terrified of that because he knows it's to his doom when that happens.
That's right.
And I believe it's going to happen soon just because of the prophetic timetable, the way things are going. I think it's going to be a quick work when it happens. And we're going to be amazed at what God does. Amen?
Amen.
Because Jesus is still the cornerstone. He's still the way. He's still the truth. And he's still the life. His word is still the plumb line.
Amen.
Amen? And this is more than just getting stirred up. How many of you know how to get stirred up? I do.
Yeah.
I get excited, and I jump, and shout, and I get, you know.
Come on, man.
Nobody angers to preach more than I do when I'm in the meeting listening to somebody. Well, maybe wait a minute. But I'm just saying, how many of you know it's more than getting stirred up, and it's good to get stirred up.
Yeah.
But it's more about change.
Yes.
Come on. It's more about transformation.
Yeah.
And you might say, well, why? I'm glad you asked. So the axe head won't fall off again.
That's right.
Come on. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
I mean, if it fell off, I might want to look at why it came off so easily.
Good Lord.
I might want to see what I can do to get it back on there and not let it go fly off again and go, oh, Master, I'm sorry. That sucker came off again. You know?
Keep it.
Hopefully, we never call the anointing sucker anyway. But anyway, are you with me?
Yeah.
I said, we don't deal with what caused it to fall off in the first place.
Wow.
In the grand scheme of things, we're in a mess.
Yeah. So good, bro.
We're right back where we started.
Thank you, Lord.
How many of you ever operated like you've ever had a handle on an axe or a sickle of some kind or a hammer?
Yeah.
You ever had one where the head comes off?
Yeah.
If you don't do anything about it, you can slip it back on there.
It's going to get worse.
Next thing you know, somebody's going to get killed if you don't fix that thing. Are y'all with me? Hallelujah. Yeah, but that's what's wrong with some of you. No, never mind. Your daddy was hammering and boom. As we prepare to pray, I want you to think of the axe head as what you're calling. Everybody with me?
Amen.
And I want you to think of the axe head as the anointing.
Yes.
It's the difference maker.
Yes.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
And to be clear, Jesus said what? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to do something.
Amen.
Amen. To minister the gospel of the kingdom. All right?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Y'all still with me?
Yeah.
So no matter what area you serve, you're still anointed in serving there to be used of God. Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
That's what's going to make the difference. I don't care if you're feeding the hungry or just praying for a friend or setting up chairs or loading a trailer or whatever, we can do it for the glory of God. Our jobs, our occupation, amen, we can do them for the glory of God. Bring in the healing and deliverance and power. Just again, don't look at anointed ministry and think this.
Yeah, right.
Right?
That's right.
A pulpit. Or even that. An instrument.
Yeah.
Don't think of it. Don't limit it to that. Okay? This is for equipping.
Amen.
This is for training. But it's never meant to be the end all.
Amen.
I mean, that's why we don't see a lot of what we don't see. Because we think it's all got to filter through the pastor.
Right.
We're all filtered through the leader. Right?
Oh,
and unfortunately, we just completely diminished and watered down the effect
right.
of what God wants to do in
that's
a body
right.
is anointed. Amen?
Body.
Hallelujah. Now, let me just say this. Some of you have never discovered or taken up the axe handle, your calling. You might say, well, what do I do? Well, if you don't know what your calling is, some of you might, but you likely don't. You know, the best way is just start serving.
Amen.
Just start serving and loving
Amen.
People. And you'll be amazed how things will develop when you do that.
Yeah,
Amen?
Yeah.
Just start serving. Begin to serve. I know a lot of you know I used to lead worship a lot. And I know God has anointed me to lead worship.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say to you today, when I started out, I played bass in my brother's church. It was a brand new church starting out. And they were meeting at a local VFW club with a beer machine in the back of the room. I'm not joking. And I started, you know where? I just started helping. And one of the ways I could help, they needed a bass player. And I thought I got out of it because I told my brother, I don't have a bass. He goes, well, go down to the store and get one and the church will pay for it.
Wow.
I should have said, I don't have a car. Started playing bass. And next thing you know, everything just kind of, have you ever had that happen?
Oh,
and I started serving and started doing things. Next thing you know, I'm leading worship and anointing. God's giving me songs. And we make record CDs. And I'm just saying, it's just the way it works, guys. So just get busy.
Yeah,
get busy for the kingdom, okay? I got to be careful here. I'm running rabbit trails here. Some of you may know your calling, but you never put an axe head on it. You're doing it in your own strength.
Talk to me about that.
You've got to be careful, right? Yeah. Now, you always want to bring your all to God. Yeah. We love Him with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, okay?
Yeah.
But if you only do it in your strength, because what does the Spirit say? Not by might,
not by
power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. So it's really going to get done for the kingdom.
Yeah.
So I may be serving like crazy in my own strength, but if I always remember, I've got an edge. I've got an anointing, amen?
Yeah, right.
And we'll be like some Stevens out there, serving like crazy, but also seeing the power of God flow. Right? Does that help you?
Yeah.
So, Rick,
some of you,
my verse that popped up on my Bible app just a few minutes ago was Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand.
That's right. Amen.
Wonderful.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, some have lost the edge, the anointing. They've just lost it. We all wave our hand. Sometime maybe have right now, maybe we haven't. But and you just feel like you're going through the motions. We've been there. I just want to say, go back, deal with it.
Yeah.
God's gracious. Deal with it, and then pick it up again. Mm-hmm. Some, though, laid down their calling. You know, they laid the whole handle down. And maybe it was out of frustration or disappointment or hurt or offense or weariness. Do I need to go on? There's a lot of reasons people lay it down. But again, the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable.
Thank you, Lord.
All right?
Thank you, Lord.
He'll allow you to repent. He'll allow you to get your heart healed. And He'll allow you to pick it up again.
That's it.
Amen?
Yeah.
Now, some of us still have an edge and an anointing. We don't feel like we've lost it. I'm just going to get real with you. Sometimes it seems like it's a little dull.
Come on, man. Sharp.
Hello?
Sharp.
I just touched my iPad when I shouldn't have. Come back to me in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
It's just not as powerful and effective as maybe it once was.
Come on, man.
Can I tell you something? As you serve in the ministry and we deal with things, that's kind of common.
Yeah.
It's kind of a common thing. But we got to learn to recognize what we need to do to sharpen the edge.
Okay.
Right? To sharpen the edge requires oil and friction.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right?
Bro.
The oil obviously is the oil, the oil of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Guess where the friction comes from?
Us.
The people of God.
Yeah.
Are you getting this?
That's
the oil, and then you got the stone.
Yeah.
Remember?
Right.
What are we?
We're
living stones.
Yeah, that's good.
Look at this verse, Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpens iron, so one man
sharpens another.
Amen.
Amen?
That's why we need each other.
Yeah.
Not to cut each other's ears off.
No.
Right? Not to maim each other with the axe.
No.
But to sharpen our edge and then it's there you go. Hallelujah. It's another reason why we need to assemble together. It's another reason why we need to gather together.
Yeah.
We need to minister together. We need to do life together. Because we need one another.
Yeah.
And we sharpen one another.
Praise
you,
Lord.
I also want to encourage you, you need to make sure the majority of your fellowship, the majority of your life is around people of like-mindedness.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. You need to be around believers. You need to be around people. I'm talking about who you walk with.
Yeah.
Because if we never got around the lost, we never ever witnessed to the lost. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying, who you do life with needs to be people you're like-minded and agreeing with. Would you agree?
Going in the same direction.
Think about this. The Bible says a three-stranded cord is not easily broken, right? A three-stranded cord. And I'm convinced it's the Word of God and the Spirit of God. You get this? And the people of God.
Yeah. There you
go. Convinced, that's what. It's the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the people of God. That makes a three-stranded cord that's not easily broken. Amen? We need one another. Eh? Hallelujah. We're called to practice righteousness.
Come on.
I need to say this because there's times when we will do things out of obedience. Anybody with me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We just do it, but we don't do it with any passion or any emotion. And that's not always wrong. Because sometimes you just don't have any passion or emotion, but it was still the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Because we're to practice righteousness, right?
Yes.
You still do the right thing, even if you're not really into it.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yep.
That's why we're called disciples. We're disciplined.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But here's the danger of only being disciplined. Is swinging an axe handle without a
edge.
Right? Right? You're just going through the motions. There's no passion. There's no joy. There's
no
strength.
So good.
Amen? And eventually, you're just going to get really old and dull.
Come on.
Amen?
So good.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Probably one of the biggest areas of burnout in the world, secular and spiritual, is pastors.
Wow.
Wow.
Come on, Dad.
Pastors yeah. burn out and quit by the thousands.
Yeah.
Every week.
Yeah.
Wow.
Usually on Monday morning.
Yeah.
Wow.
The kingdom is what? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Okay? Righteousness is doing what's right. Amen? Peace is that supernatural calm and tranquility of the heart that only He can give you. And joy is your strength.
Hallelujah. Come on.
Because you can't do it with joy. It's really hard. I'll tell you, nothing's harder than being a worship leader and not having any joy. Woo! Because you're singing about joy and you're like, right? Some of the congregation need to get that too. You know, I'll hear lyrics and songs like, I'm going to dance before you, I'm going to raise my hands, or I'm going to bow down. And nobody does any of it, but we sing it.
Wow. Yeah. Come on.
Come on, everybody say joy.
Joy.
That's what Paul said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice. It literally means to just jump up with glee and shout.
Yay. Yay.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Rejoice. Get your joy back. Joy. Hallelujah. And you'll get your strength back. So, if you don't have joy, start praying.
Yeah.
Pray for joy. Pray. It's the right thing to do. Ask God. In 1 Samuel, don't go there. We're almost done. In 1 Samuel 30, I've taught this to you. David and his mighty men come back to Ziklag. Remember?
Yes.
They come back, and the city is burnt, and all their women and children have been taken kidnapped. Right?
Yeah.
Captives don't even know where they are.
Right.
And they're tired. They've been out battling, and they just completely lose it. They start crying out until they had no strength left in them. That's the wrong response.
Yeah.
Right? You can only cry so long, right? Then you lose all your physical strength and your emotional strength, and now what do you do? Then it got so bad that they wanted to take up stones and stone David, and we're going to lay this in his feet. But David summoned for them to bring the linen ephod to him. And he put on the ephod, and he said, and he strengthened himself in the Lord. And as he strengthened himself in the Lord directed him what to do and how to get it back.
Come on.
And the Bible says he went out with about 200 of his men. I guess he was willing to drop the stones.
Yeah.
They went out and got everything back. Everything was recovered.
Come on.
Wow. Hallelujah.
Nothing left.
It's the power.
Yeah.
How many know? You and I need to learn how to strengthen ourselves in the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Lord, do it,
you can't stay on life support till Sunday.
That's
do it,
right.
Jesus.
No.
Until the prayer meeting. We've got to learn how to strengthen ourselves in the Lord, beloved. Amen. Look at all of you. We've been around a while. We've been doing this a while. We know how.
Yes.
Amen. Get in the Word. Get in His presence.
Yes.
Pray. That's all you feel like. Pray till you feel like it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. That's
the way. Let's be men and women of faith. Apply your measure of faith.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. I got the joy of the Lord. I got the glory of my life. I've got an anointing from the Holy One.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God's heart for us is individual and as a church, okay? And that's to recover all right?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
You agree with me?
Yes.
It's going to require us to gather on purpose.
That's right.
And I say that to some of you, it's time to come back.
Yes.
It's
yes.
time to gather because we've got to gather on purpose.
Yes.
With a purpose, all right? Intentional.
Yes.
Because, see, I believe God's got some fresh outpourings.
Yes.
Come on.
And I want to believe for that. I think you would believe me. But I'm all for whatever God wants to do. My message can wait. I can preach it to you online if I want. I just have to get it to you.
Yes.
But I want God to pour out.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
I want someone to come in and mess us up.
Yes. Do it, God.
Mess up our song list and mess up my list of scriptures.
Yes.
If it needs to happen. Amen?
Yes.
Are y'all with me?
Yeah, man.
Let's apply our measure of faith. That's what I'm asking you. Will you apply your measure of faith for that?
Yeah.
And when we get together, it's going to be dynamic. Amen?
Amen.
And we're trying to figure out how to get people in here that they've heard they can get touched when they get the
come on.
They've heard. This is where you get healed. This is where you get set free.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Anybody want to believe that with me?
This is where you can find heaven.
Did I give you Isaiah 44? Last scripture. And everyone said it. Amen. And Bill laughed.
Because
Bill knows it's not always true. Isaiah 44, verse number 3. Come on, guys. Let's read it together. For I will pour out water on the thirsty land.
Thirsty.
And streams on the dry ground. Come on. This is good.
I will pour out my spirit on your offspring.
Oh!
Hallelujah.
And my blessing on your descendants.
Do it, God.
Hallelujah. They will spring up among the grass like poplars
by streams of water.
How many ready to see that?
That's what I want.
Outpouring. train that affects not only you, but your family.
Come on.
Your children. And your children's
children.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Let's believe for it.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Let's be hands.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let's be hands. Father, today I thank you. I know the men and women in this room. And I know they love you, and I know they know you.
Yes.
And I know they're called.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, you've called us all that you've saved. And I pray today, Father, that in your mercy and your grace, you would ignite us again.
Yes, Lord.
You would stir our hearts, but also, Lord, transform us.
Yes.
To be a people.
Yes.
Who will take hold of the handle.
Yes.
Of our calling.
Yes.
And who will not try to do anything without your anointing.
Thank you, Lord.
Holy Spirit, I ask you to come right now and release a grace over every heart. A grace that says we can be restored. A grace that says we can pick it up again.
Yes, Lord.
I come against condemnation in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
I come against fear.
Thank you, Jesus.
I come against the fear of failure.
Thank you, Jesus.
I come against the disappointments of your past.
Come on.
I come against those times when nothing made sense and you were frustrated.
Thank you, Lord.
And I break the power of those. I come against the Jezebel spirit.
Come on, Jesus.
Who would come to manipulate you and try to bring fear into your very bones.
Hallelujah.
I rebuke that spirit. I rebuke the Leviathan spirit.
You,
I rebuke lukewarmness. And I rebuke apathy.
Thank you, Lord.
And I declare it
Do
shall
it.
Not find root in our hearts.
It
shall not find roots in this church.
Hallelujah.
Or in this ministry.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Just say this with me, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus,
I am yours.
I am yours.
You have redeemed me.
You have redeemed
for
me
your glory.
For your glory.
Show me.
Show me.
Reveal to me.
Reveal to me
the hope of your calling.
The hope of your
upon
calling.
My life.
Upon my life.
Grant me the grace.
Grant me your
and
grace.
The courage.
And the courage
to take hold.
To take hold
of what you laid out before me.
What you laid out before
to
me.
Apply my measure of faith.
To apply my measure of faith.
And believe you.
And believe you.
That you will bring a spirit of faith.
You will bring a spirit of faith.
Upon my heart and my life.
Upon my heart and life.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit. Thank you.
Let's just sing that. There is nothing worth more. Nothing can come again. You're our living hope, your presence, Lord. For I've tasted and seen of the sweetness of love, and my heart becomes free, and the shame is undone.
Stay right there.
All shame be undone.
Amen.
Come on.
Yes.
Amen.
Come on. Let the shame be gone. The shame is keeping your anointing at the bottom of the river.
Amen.
Come on now. The grace of God. We apply the cross and the grace right now.
Yes.
Hallelujah. All shame, go.
Hallelujah.
All intimidation of the enemy, go. Fear, go. Let's sing it again. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love. My heart becomes free, and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Sing it. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. You're welcome in this place. You're welcome in our hearts, Holy Spirit. And Lord, we agree today to believe for outpourings, times of refreshing, unlike anything we've ever known. Agree with me, beloved. Come on. Agree with me right now. Lord, this is what we gather for as your body. Oh, Lord, we pray, let your wind come again from the four winds and breathe on us, Lord. Breathe on us, Lord, from every direction like a mighty downburst. Come
on, your
come, Holy One. We're yours, Lord. And I pray for each of us to have the courage to be connected again, to be joined, Lord, in serving and ministry in every area.
Hallelujah.
Believing and knowing, Lord, you anoint who you call.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Say, I am anointed by God. I am called by God. For the purposes of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I am yours, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. I volunteer freely, Lord. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. We do it out of love, Father. Come on.
I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet sound in your ears. I exalt thee.
Blessings of life, encouragement, strength,
yes.
Anointing, hallelujah, insight. Lord, I just pray great favor to be upon you, to
yes.
see revelation
yes.
to come to you even now. I just release over you right now, no more questions or wondering, well, what should I do or what am I supposed to do or do I have any purpose? We debunk all the lies right now, Father, in the name of Jesus. We just come against the lies of the enemy, the condemnation of the enemy. Oh, Lord, we overcome him by the blood
yes.
and the word of our testimony. The things we've testified of even already, Lord God, they negate the lies of the enemy. You're valuable to God. He paid the ultimate price for you. That's how he values you. And Lord, we pray for each of us that we would each one be a vessel of honor.
Yes.
Always ready. Always got oil in our lamps. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Always shining, Lord God, in everything that we do. That we would do all that we do for the glory of God. I also pray the Lord to give you great courage. when a friend or a co-worker or a friend or even someone in your own family, they need healing, that you have great courage to release healing to them.
Yes, Lord. Great courage.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
When someone is struggling, to pray for them with great courage,
great courage, insight,
and for reconciliation.
Great courage.
Even to break the bonds of wickedness and addictions and pains and various things, to be broken in the powerful name of Jesus, who breaks every chain. Hallelujah. The Lord just says to you today, you're my chain breaker. You're my healing conduit, says the Lord. Hallelujah. You're my bondage breaker, says the Lord. For you represent me, says God. I've anointed you for a time such as this. Lord, I thank you. Come on, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, I pray, especially over these next coming moments of time, that you would sharpen our edge, Lord. And that we would sharpen one another. Hallelujah. And as we sharpen, more oil is released. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, the best is yet to come.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I just declare over you today, the Lord blesses you. The Lord keeps you. The Lord causes His face to shine upon yours.
Yes.
The Lord lifts up His countenance upon you. And the Lord gives you peace. Say with me, Shalom.
Shalom.
In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody say to somebody, say to them right now, you are blessed by God.
You are blessed by God.
With healing. Come on, say it. Healing.
Healing.
Purpose. Destiny.
Life.
Freedom.
Freedom.
You are blessed.
You are blessed.
For such a time as this.
Such a time as this.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You receive it?
Yes.
Give a shout of joy. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There's a platform behind me. Whew. All right. We're getting ready to baptize Savannah. Oh, goodbye to our online family, unless somebody wants to bring
the phone
in. We'll see you again soon. We'll let you know what day is. I think
I think
worship and prayer is Friday this week. I'm not sure. I've got to look at my calendar. I will let you know. Amen. So we'll let Savannah get ready. And Angel and Susan are baptizing her. Okay, awesome. All right. Will somebody let my wife know?